Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Heart to Heart podcast. I'm your host, Hyla. I'm also the co-founder of the activewear and swimwear brand 437. This podcast has such a special place in my heart. I'm obsessed with self-development, spirituality, talking about what it's like to be a woman in business in this day and age, and how that's impacted our connection to our feminine energy and how we show up in our relationships and, I don't know, our deeper fulfillment and joy in life. And I think it's definitely a conversation that I've been really enjoying having on this podcast and very excited to continue to dive deeper into those topics. I think you guys are going to love today's episode. It is with the co-founder of Ray Creative, Kirsten Barbera, who's also a good friend of mine. And you're going to hear from her in this episode that I recorded a couple weeks ago. Her path and her story and her understanding of her why, it blows my mind. And it's when you hear this, it's going to be so inspiring. And whether you're looking to start a business or there's something in your life that you're just like, should I do this? Should I not do this? You're on the fence about it. It could be about anything. If you can kind of put that question in your mind as you listen to this episode, I'm sure you'll start thinking about like, what is the deeper reason? Like, what is my why? And can my why be achieved through another path even? Or is this the right path? And maybe this will confirm that for you or not. And so I think it's really interesting that we can apply this episode to just about like any big question that might be on your mind. She's a very talented creative who's really good at storytelling and brand for anyone who's looking for that. 437 has worked with her multiple times, specifically with our fall activewear collection, where we went to Banff, like we did an influencer trip to Banff. The photo shoot for that collection, that brand trip, she was very involved with all of that and she absolutely killed it. So if you would ever want an introduction to her, a warm intro where, you know, I can actually like put you forward for working with her, send me a DM, send me an email, and I'd love to make that intro. And as always, at the end of every episode where I have a guest on, at the end, I like to kind of reconnect back to you guys one-on-one and maybe even do like a little debrief and kind of talk to you also about what's going on in my upcoming week. And kind of just continue to us have our, you know, weekly or bi-weekly check-ins, which I love. So without further ado, here is the episode with Kirsten, and I hope you guys like it. Hi, Kirsten. Welcome to Heart to Heart.
It's a beautiful day in LA. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited that I made the trip out and that we get to sit down and chat. I feel like this whole weekend, or this whole week rather, has been just us chatting, going back, talking about all the things. So now we finally hit record.
And every minute I'm like, oh, Kirsten, like, let's save that for the podcast. Like, let's talk about that here. So hopefully we remember all those things we said we'd want to talk about here.
We'll dive right in.
Maybe we should probably start off by saying, A, how we know each other, mm-hmm. maybe a little background. I mean, we know each other of each other or like through, we've probably been at parties together through high school. You went to Bill Crothers. I went to Brother Andre in Markham. So we kind of grew up in the same area and around the same people, around the same gatherings. But it's not like we were like close friends or anything in that we were in different schools, different ages, right?
I always looked up to you. I
really?
Swear, always. Even like then? University, college.
Oh, okay.
And then on, it was probably about, I would say like 7 years ago when we were both in Toronto. You, of course, had 437, and I was going to school for brand, all things marketing, and then probably just, yeah, like downtown friends, how we got like well acquainted, and yeah, and look at us.
We're recording in LA, by the way, which is fun because Kirsten lives in New York now, and I'm like Toronto and slash everywhere, like I don't
slash everywhere. Slash,
I don't even know where most of the time, but you know, I came down here for seminar next weekend, and Kirsten, you've been looking for a reason to come back. Your business partner is here, and I was like, well, why don't we do an episode together? And it just like the stars aligned and we found some time to be here together. So I'm so excited. For those of you who don't know, when I first got to know Kirsten, you had a brand that we can talk about here, right?
We're gonna dive right in and talk about the whole
you want to talk about spray tanning as well.
I can definitely go way, way back and like really chat how, you know, one thing led to another. My idea of how to make some side money in university really started to give me an opportunity of like, hey, I can really make this into a full like consumer business.
So give us that background. Give us like your, because I think just to kind of paint the picture of like who you are, not your career. That's a number one thing we have to address. But I think that it will help paint a story about a lot of the other things we'll probably dive into today. So do you want to kind of give us a background on you?
Mm-hmm, yeah? Of course. Go ahead. I was in school. And I went to school for marketing. I've always been a brand forward girl. I've always been a consumer. I've always been questioning, you know, why do I like this brand? Or why do I feel like I want, you know, this in my flat lay on Instagram? And I was interning in PR at the time, which then fast forward into me, again, still in school. And I was really, again, pale skin, black hair, always into spray tanning. And I had this idea of like, listen, I pay so much for spray tans. I'm just going to buy it, do it myself in my own, just for myself. And of course, through university, that turned into, can you do my friend? Can you do my mom? Can you do my mom's cousin's friend's sister? And that really just spearheaded it into doing it on the side while I was going to school. It was great because I didn't have to have like a full-time or even a part-time, maybe like shift-based job. And COVID happened and my clients are reaching out to me being like, where do I go? What do I do? What are clean? Because that was the whole thing. I've always been into clean beauty and clean skin and just the more, I would say like, yeah, just organic as possible in clean skincare anyways. So I was like, I have to look into this. I don't even personally, you know, have a brand that I'm obsessed with right now. So I was looking during COVID and I'm like, I can't find a clean skin, like a clean face tanning product that, you know, was brand forward, that you wanted to leave on your desk, that you wanted to leave out on your counter, or like you wanted it to be on your shelfie, et cetera. And I, again, everything was closed down. I'm like, I'm just going to do this. And that's where it stemmed from. And that's my passion. I'm always, you know, looking even in my daily life, like, you know, it'd be a great brand if this was reinvented for the modern woman,
yes,
for the modern consumer. And it was a great brand, a great name, key messaging. It was like, and there's so many of these now.
Yes.
But that's what I love doing. And really that was like my first experience doing something and building something up from the ground, which led me into Glow Organic, which was a full spray, I would say self-tan consumer-based business, which I launched in 2021.
Mm-hmm. Okay, amazing. And so walk me through, because I know now what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You have Ray, which is a creative agency that you recently launched with your business partner, Quinn. And we all went for dinner last night. Quinn is so sweet, an amazing business
she
partner.
Is.
So excited for you. But this year you launched Ray Creative. So could you, because I think this is so interesting, mm-hmm. right? How in 2021, you launched a clean tanning consumer brand,
mm-hmm.
and now you have a creative agency. Could you tell us how, yeah, you went from one to the other? What was that awakening moment? Why are you going the different direction? Because I think it's so beautiful, because I know a little bit of the story, and I'd love for us to talk about more of that.
For sure. Rewinding, again, my passion lies in branding, that story, that the why of, you know, why we can't wait to jump and like buy the newest lip oil or the newest lip balm that like we just saw, you know, the best campaign of, and the emotional side of things. And that's what I absolutely loved about Glow Organic and putting into, you know, like, let's change the narrative here. Let's change the narrative around SPF and like why we have to, and let's make it into something that we want to wear every day and that we want to bring and take out of our bag, et cetera. And through that, you know, that's really always been my passion. And I think I would love to dive into more about, you know, my own identity and what I struggled with during that time of just like really immersing myself in this brand and it turning into, of course, you know, Hyla, you're an entrepreneur, you understand wearing all hats, but where is the line cross when it's realizing, like, am I doing this all of a sudden for myself because I love it? Or have I lost kind of the aspect of the brand that I love? And now I'm really doing it to prove to myself, to prove to others, to prove, you know, around basically identifying around being like a founder, that hat, and all the things that come with it. Let's talk, you know, raising money and really bringing a consumer brand to market and all the other aspects that go into it. And I found myself after the brand inception and a pre-launch that did extremely well, now onto my next part of the business, which honestly, I'm excited to chat again with you because I don't feel like a lot of people talk about this. And we were chatting last night about some of your clients that come to you, like after, you know, that brand, that initial fun launch, the operations and the scaling of a business, the fundraising of a business. And I was about to go raise a pre-seed, which is again, back to institutional funding and like really how I was going to get this brand off the ground. And I, you know, great piece of advice before you do absolutely anything, go talk to three people that are living that life, that are maybe 7, 10, 15 years already in it. The best thing I ever did, going way back when I wanted to work in PR, I interned, and I always say to girls that I chat with, the great thing about my PR internship, guess what? It taught me that I did not want to go into PR. I came from like a more, again, brand side of events, all that. And then I learned the logistics and the everyday day to day. And I'm like, I don't think PR is for me. So, you know, talk to people that are living that life that you would be living post whatever that, you know, goal would be. And I did do that. And I'm like, I think I can't see myself really falling in love with like the operational sides of the business, because being a founder, again, it's not brand forward all the time. It's not, you know, you've built the brand and now you have to really scale it. And the I'm not an operations-based person or even in like a very analytical KPI-based person. And after learning, again, what the rounds of fundraising would be and the, you know, the revenue targets and the everything, I'm like, let's take a step back.
Like everything outside of the brand part that you love.
Correct. 100%. Yeah. And it was kind of fate, because during this time that I was about to go start my fundraising, I've built an advisory team. I've, you know, hired lawyers. I've literally done the whole, you know, 90%. Now I'm ready to go and raise money. I was having these conversations with founders and I really realized, like, before Kirsten, look at yourself, like in the mirror, before you take a dime from anybody, like, do I want to commit to this for the next 7 to 10 to X amount of years? Now it's not just me. I didn't self-fund this business. I'm going to be having conversations with other people that surround money. And I've had a very almost like, yeah, just that realization of like, do I want to do this? And again, going back to the fate aspect of it, it was very weird timing. It was November 2022. And I was really questioning everything. If I really wanted to do this, do I take a step back? Do I want to go raise, you know, $2 million for this business? And that is when I actually got approached from a high growth startup in New York City at the time. And they said they really liked my background and that they'd, you know, really love to just chat with me. It was really high level at first. And I was like, would love to have a conversation. Mind you, this is via, you know, LinkedIn, all that jazz.
And you always told me you dreamed to live in New York City. So
it was also during that time where I was talking to lawyers, of course, and knew it was going to be a hot minute before I could probably even fall into like a visa that would allow me to go for the business that I was about to fundraise for. So I'd be, you know, really just doing it out of Toronto. And again, to your point, I loved New York. I've always wanted to move to New York. And it was really, again, trusting really just the universe with divine timing. I did one interview, turned into two, three, four. actually got an offer, a full, you know, they were going to do everything. They were going to relocate me to New York City and everything that I wanted. And it was such a surreal experience. It all happened so fast. I feel like honestly a month. And I was like, you know what? I can always have an opportunity to come back to a consumer startup, a brand, anything like of my own, because again, like that's in my control. The one thing that's not in my control is this opportunity.
To go to New York, get this visa, like take advantage of this opportunity, right?
Could only imagine. And again, like this would only have, mind you, I'm 25 at the time. This would have only added a great opportunity onto my resume, the people that I would have met during this experience, et cetera, et cetera. I took the job. I shelved the startup. I was like, I can always come back to it. And it was the best thing that I ever did, because it made me realize what part of brand and what part of like the creative, you know, sides of brand marketing that I absolutely love. And now I'm here. Long story short, I took the job. I worked there for 6 months, and then I had the opportunity of starting my own creative agency. So, and doing some consulting on the side, but now we've just officially launched. And that was a very quick fast forward, but we can kind of dive into that. But I just wanted to give you, that backstory and really just kind of chat about the identity piece of it. And always, I guess, just having a goal, but really being open to the different journey that maybe life will take you.
I need to process this for a second, you know, because A, this is not talked about enough, right? There's just so much to unpack here. And this, like, guys, I'm like, my mind is like spinning all over the place because, you know, as you guys know, I consult a lot of brand founders, varying stages of their business, but a lot of them kind of come to me because they resonated with our story of, you know, no investors, started, you know, with an idea, no connections, no money, no followers, none of that. I remember I was telling you this the first night you got to LA 2 nights ago, where I was saying that every once in a while, I have a client that comes in and by the end of our session or with the email they send me next, they realize that launching a brand wasn't the right fit for them then. And I remember one of my clients, you know, she was telling me about her idea. And, you know, you can have so many different clients at this point, you know, when you can kind of sense someone's purpose, passion, skill set. And I know what it takes, that resilience. And I know that gusto you need. And I remember she had this idea and, but ultimately I could tell that there was something missing. And I remember asking her, I was like, why do you really want to start this business? And right, she'd give me the idea. She'd give me the problem she wants to solve, but it wasn't like the why, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you want to go and open up like a shoe company, well, what's your real why? You know, is it because your dad was a cobbler? Was it because you had a pair of shoes and you fell on your face and it was the most embarrassing thing and you want to solve that problem, right? By the time we tried to unpack everything, because so much of it is that inner piece that like, where's your heart at? It came down to her saying, it seems like a lot of the founders I follow have a very well-off lifestyle and they make a really comfortable living. And so I'm hoping that within like a year of starting the business, I can also be paying myself six figures and have this like freedom life, whatever it might be. When I heard that, I was like, well, you know, honest answer, you know, thank God we got to that, right? That why, A, is very far from true. Personally, it took me 2 years to get paid. And we're talking like, I think the first time we got paid was like 40,000 for the year, you know? B, anytime there's like a financial situation at 437 where we need to put a lot of our money into production or the company, whose salary gets taken away first? Mine, right? Me and Adrian's. I mean, third, we all know, like you said, you have to grind it out for a handful of years before you start seeing the salary you want to start seeing before you get acquired, like whatever that future looks like. So that's number one, is that A, that's not even accurate. But B, is that that why is not going to keep you going when shit hits the fan and the first major crisis happens. I truly believe that being a founder is about putting out fires all the time and be like very solution oriented, right? But there has to be that love of the why. And I think what you brought up of my love, my why was I like brand. I love branding. I love storytelling. I like strategic brand marketing and placement and like this sort of compelling story to make you excited about why do I want this lip gloss mm-hmm. more than the exact same formula that's in the drugstore. It's because of that brand, the way it made you feel, like how they're the copywriting around it, right? And I know you're so good at that. And so that why probably keeps you going. Now, as a business owner, when you do have to put out fires and you have to figure out the invoicing softwares mm-hmm. and you have, we were talking about this morning, and you have to figure out finding, you know, how do you work with clients, or having to say no to some clients, having to hire people, having to deal with employee challenges in the future, because your why is like, I love branding. I love bringing that feeling of a rebrand or mm-hmm. a launch to somebody. But if it was in the tanning product, is that what you'd call it? A tanning mm-hmm. product. The why was, I love branding. I love the marketing of it. But when that operational issue happens,
exactly,
and it's about how are we distributing this to 4,000 retailers across the globe, as much as you can obviously have a team working on those things, it's like you're still going to be so much into that part, and that the branding part that you love was only going to be a small fraction of it. And that why is what either keeps you going, or is like, A, you either stop and realize like, that's not for me. Or if you don't, you become a resentful founder. You become resentful. You don't like what you do. And we talk about this, but it goes into your masculine, right? Because in your feminine, you're just doing things that feel so good for you. They feel in alignment to your purpose. Like you're just so grateful for it. You're just in a life of like play and joy and fun. And would you not say that you feel that so much more now in this creative company, this creative branding, is it agency? Mm-hmm. Now that it's so in line with who you are and what you love versus something that had aspects of it, but really didn't encompass your true why.
Mm-hmm. But there's something to say around, you don't know what you don't know.
Totally.
Yes. And going back, I know I briefly touched on even going way back to my intern days of PR. I'm so glad yes. I did that, Hyla.
You had to do it to know.
Yeah, yeah. And I had an amazing boss. And I always throw this joke around, like my first internship, mm-hmm. I didn't know what EOD meant. I'm not even joking here. Sure.
End of day. I love those things. Just in case, you never know. Of I hate course. When people use those terms and I'm like, what does CPM mean?
Yeah, no, of course I was, you know, I loved having an internship. And my advice to anyone that's in PR, brand, marketing, anything creative, is I always wanted an internship of every semester, even though I didn't need it, because I knew when I graduated, you know, the odd person maybe has one internship because she got a credit for it, she. But I was graduating with like six different experiences in my fields, essentially. But going back to it, you don't know what you don't know. I thought I wanted to do this. It only led me to then realizing that maybe I didn't, or maybe it was a different aspect of that role, or maybe, hey, I just learned in this job that I'm actually really good at the operations side more than I'm just flipping it maybe
for my own someone else. Yeah.
Skill set. Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, I really started getting into people at that role. And now I want to be a director of people, and I want to go into HR and growth. And, you know, that's, you would have never realized that. So I guess my really just to hit home, especially with my experience with the consumer brand as well, is I wouldn't be here again without realizing that, because that was, you know, I didn't know that was an opportunity for me. I was like, hey, listen, I think I have a great idea. But that never stopped. I went on to different startups and different, and, you know, and consulting and freelancing. All this was in the middle of, you know, that role and where I am today. And the feedback of like, you helped me so much, whether it was a consulting client or we even worked together with 437. Like, that was when I knew there's something here. Mm-hmm. And this is what fires me up.
So it's like in a way of like looking back in gratitude, no regret. It's like, no regret. I needed this to help me uncover what my true purpose or what I really enjoy doing for this chapter of my life now. But it's also like in the same way, hopefully people listen to this and are not starting businesses for the wrong reasons as well, because of how much we've learned that your heart has to be in what you do. And so if your heart's not in what you're doing right now, you're still going to take the lessons and allow it to start painting a path forward of like, okay, what am I good at? What am I not good at?
Mm-hmm.
But so often I told you about this the other day. It's like, I even had a client that was like, I want to start a brand so I can put founder in my Instagram bio, because I feel like that's the only way people are going to take me seriously. And I'm like, we don't have to own these brands, tangible product type brands,
mm-mm,
to be of importance or to have this sort of this life that I don't know what is so glamorized about it. What's really glamorous at the end of the day is that when you go to bed, Kirsten, as mm-hmm, you do now, with your partner next to you, smiling, maybe busy, maybe not busy one night, that you just love what you do. And I can see it in you. You know, you're excited, you're full of life because of this, you know, business. And that's the whole point. That's glam. Like, that to me is real glamour of life. The real love of life is that I'm not doing this because I feel like I need to do it to fit in or to be of importance to people or so people take me seriously. It's like, this is what I love doing. This makes me happy. And this is what I'm good at.
100%. And again, to your point, I feel like that question, that really deep rooted question you have to ask yourself is, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And if it does come back to something, maybe again, like a higher level, or like maybe because I want to, you know, I see a lot of founders and I want to do the same thing. It's funny because I'm the happiest I've ever been. I am so aligned with what I'm doing now. And for the first time, there's no ego in it.
Mm.
I couldn't really care less about like a fancy title, or like, to me, there's values in what's important to me at the end of the day, whether that be a financial goal or measuring my own happiness or my relationships with my family and my friends and my amazing partner. But that titles are really, for the first time in my life, like not how I really look inwards and validate myself anymore. And because of that, I think I am the happiest, yes, if that makes sense.
Yes, because it's not about what others think about you. It's not about what the world thinks of, like, what's your job title, your LinkedIn one word.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about, like, I'm Kirsten, and what I'm choosing to do every day now just fills my cup.
Exactly.
I have a full cup and I'm happy and I'm smiling, and it's inner smiling. It's like inner happiness. It doesn't matter if you think that I'm smiling or I'm not smiling, whatever you think, you can have.
Totally. And it's all about how, you know, like, your mindset too. Like right now, I want to put amazing things out there. And yeah. And honestly, I almost look at myself and my work as a reflection of the impact that I have in this world. And truly, that's what it comes down to. I'm like, I want to create and put and work with incredible founders and make in like just be creative in terms of strategy, positioning, design, branding. And the more I make an impact, the more aligned, happier, wealthier I become.
Yeah. Amen. Amen to that. And that's what it really, like, that's what it comes down. And I truly believe that it had to take you, it had to take me a lot of formative years to get to these realizations. And I can only imagine 5 years from now, what other realizations come, but there had to be parts of things that we had to do that we didn't love. There had to be parts of the journey that we had an ego attachment,
mm-hmm,
in order to realize that that wasn't serving me. That only made me do things that, like, I can speak to some examples of this, not to do with work, because I totally, that's a big part. I've already spoken about that on the podcast, of just feeling like I had to have and do and acquire and have certain accolades within 437 to feel proud of myself, mm, or to lead with that.
Why? I have a question,
okay,
for you.
Go ahead.
Why do you think that was?
Maybe I just had a hard time actually being proud of myself, to actually understand that, like, what I'm doing is great no matter how big or small it is. Like, I think maybe I felt like a fraud. Okay, I guess also a part of it was like the swimwear world when we started. It was really
Sure.
easy for someone to be like, oh, you sell some bikinis. Ah, let me guess. Let me, like, all I remember is this one time back in our single days.
Yeah, of
we're on the
course.
rooftop Cactus Club downtown Toronto, you know, and you just, you know, we're early 20s starting a business. We want free drinks. You know, these guys are like talking you up and they're like, oh, let me guess, you model them, don't you? Oh, you know, you guys, you know, do you have a website? Is it like a side thing? You know, if I were to tell you I'm a lawyer, you wouldn't say, is it a side thing?
Of
You know,
course.
You wouldn't say, do you have clients? Do you have an office? Like, there's already just this mindset of, let me assume it's like this small because you can model your own product. Like, just a sort of different perspective when it came to swimwear or maybe fashion.
Mm-hmm.
In that time period. And I just felt that it was hard to be kind of proud of what I was doing because it's hard to really know. And I felt that without that Forbes list, or maybe without the articles, or without having to show a little bit of, hey, like, here's the 5,000 person wait list for this product. Hey,
yeah.
Here's the sellout.
The
hey,
tangible
numbers.
Tangible numbers and the outcome of, hey, look, like, it almost sounds like it's, you know, proving to others and getting deeper, proving to ourselves that, hey, like, I can do this. And if that's what starting a business comes down to,
that's
proving things to others, proving things to ourselves.
What a battle we have to do. Like, can you imagine? Like, this should be like the best, like one of the best things that you can do for yourself is to take this risk, but because you love it. And now you're having to have this battle with yourself of having to prove to yourself the thing that you chose to do to help you in your life to feel more purposeful. And I also just dealt with a lot of bullying. Like, I mean, separate podcast, we can go into just like general bullying. I've gone through a lot in my life, but I remember when we were starting 437, there were people in our university, because right, we were in like this business school and no one was starting businesses. I remember a girl saying, you know, that's going to look so good on your resume when you have to go get a real job. And then also there was this like guy I was talking to in my last year of university. And I remember this girl that, you know, historically was not really nice to me. And, you know, she also was from our hometown and she was also, I guess, came to my university for a weekend or whatever. And she was getting close to the guy that I was talking to, like at the bar, like they were just chatting. I don't know. She was just trying to flirt with him because he told me this after. And she was just like, oh, like I heard you're talking to Little Miss Entrepreneur. Like, oh, she thinks she's so cool with her little business. Like, and I know like maybe that didn't have to, it's not like the rudest thing, you know, maybe there's like, you know, that tone, you know, like that jab there. And it hurts to have women want to put you down. And because of how much stuff I've gone through in my life of just words really having an impact on me, like I'm not built of steel and I don't want to be. I am soft. I am delicate at times. And it's hard to hear things that, you know, embarrass me or, you know, make me feel little as much as I want to work on not letting that impact me. Right. And so I felt like there was all this stuff that I just had to prove in my mind. And even with family, right? Like I love my dad so much. And he's like the number one supporter of 437 in the world. But he was like this Persian dad who wanted me to be a doctor. And I would lie to him in high school and say, yeah, I'm taking sciences, even though I stopped. And I was doing more of like an internship at like La Vie en Rose. Like I just was doing the strangest things. And, you know, when I got into Queen's, which is, you know, one of the most difficult business programs in Canada, he didn't even really understand that. Like, and I was like, that was really hard to get into. And he was just like, you know, his first reaction was, you know, well, I guess you can go to law school after and become a lawyer, a corporate lawyer, you know, if you mix the two. And it wasn't until he was like at a party of like all these like well-off Persian people, some sort of party, that this man was talking to him. He's like, oh, how old is your daughter? My dad was like this age. And his daughter, I guess, was the same age as me. What school is your daughter going to? And then my dad's like, oh, she got into, you know, Queen's Commerce. That man was like, my daughter applied to that school and that's like her number one choice. It couldn't get in. She had like a 93% average. Like that's like the hardest program to get into. Like, you know, your daughter, like, wow. And my dad, like, I guess he left the party that day. Like he stepped outside and he called me and he was like,
wow,
wow. Like Kyla, I'm really proud of you. I didn't know. And so I think at that point onwards, like he took my passion about lease business a lot more seriously. And then of course, when we started 437, I was just a bit shy to even tell him about it in the first place. I almost just waited until it was making at least like six figures. And then I started showing him. And then I was like, I kind of made it more of a point when we hit our first $1 million. I was like, yeah, this business I was doing on the side, like it's hit $1 million. And he was so proud. And, you know, now when, you know, my sister, she's 14, it's like, he's so much more open with like whatever she wants to do, start a YouTube channel, do whatever. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just, for a long time in my life, I just felt like I had to prove to people that, you know, I have great intentions, that I am passionate about this, that, well, but you know what, even if 437 didn't make $1 million. And like I said, even with this podcast, even if 10 people are listening to it, I don't care. It's not about what people think. I'm doing this for me. This makes me happy. And even if I don't make a dollar from it, who cares? Like, do we have to tease other women about that? Really?
So what would your advice be? Now, I'm just so curious, to someone who was maybe someone like me, where, you know, they're thinking about starting this business and they don't, maybe they're not even conscious of it, Hyla. Maybe they're like, you know, I'm in this, you know, cycle of doing pretty deep, or almost just starting a business of, again, like thinking about going into doing something, and they haven't realized if they're really doing it for themselves, for their own happiness, or to put that founder title on, or to, you know, make a dad happy, or let's take the entrepreneurial spirit out of it. And, you know, that same piece of advice for someone that's in their last year and they don't know either to, you know, become a doctor or a lawyer, or start their own, you know, Pilates studio, or, you know, someone that's maybe burning out in finance and loves yoga and like really is passionate and like could see themselves being a teacher. Like, what's your advice on just
a couple things? I think number one, really doing that inner work, I would get a pen and paper and I'd really write down my whys, or my ask myself certain questions like, what fills my cup? You know, what am I really good at? What business do I want to start? And then when you have the idea, let's say you want to create the most flattering dress in the world. Like that's like, you know, you come to me and you're like, Hyla, help me grow my business. I want to have the most flattering dress in the world. I'll probably go, if I can sense that there's some question marks around like their real connection to this purpose, I'll ask them, like, go and journal why you really care about this. And are you more passionate about this problem you want to solve? Or are you more passionate about being a business owner? Or are you more into the title and the attachment of what it means to be the accolade and
so important?
Because there's three things here. One of them, if you like this, I want to create the best dress in the world, and that's like this problem you want to solve, you don't have to start your own business, right? It's like people who want to help the world. You don't have to do it on your own. You can go work at UN. You can go work at, you know, like there can be organizations that you can be part of, because maybe you're not passionate about, I want to lead a team. People quickly think, you know, I want to have my own hours. I want to choose my salary. I want to take time off. But are you also looking at the other hand, that I have to be the leader? I have to learn how to manage people in like in an empowering way, loving way, respectful way. I have to hire people. I have to be the unfortunate one who has to let people go if it's not working out. I have to be the person to cut my salary when times get tough. You have to ask yourself all these questions and say, am I so passionate about like whatever it is that you chose that I'm willing to do this for a couple of years with no salary? I'm willing to invest $30,000, $50,000, whatever, my own money for this. I mean, I'm not saying that if it's a yes or a no to like that, those are the definite answers of the bigger question of, should I start this business or not? It's at least you'll start seeing there's a pattern between all these answers. Because if you start realizing, I'm not willing to put more than $1,000 of my own money here.
Right.
I'm not willing to do this without a salary for a few years. I don't want to have to deal with the hiring, firing, or operations. I just want to focus on the branding. Let's just say, you know, actually, you know what? I wouldn't mind being employee number 4 or 5 at a startup doing this, or employee 500 at a startup doing this.
Totally.
Because I don't have that ego attachment to being a founder. Or you're like, you know what? I do. You know what? Let's just be honest. I just want to be surface level for a second, and I want to have founder in my bio. Well, then can you be founder without the success metrics? Like, why don't you just start a passion project, like a podcast or a YouTube channel, or, you know, something small, a drop shipping thing, where you don't have to go and have so many clients who've already invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into their company to then only, I swear to God, to only then realize I don't care about the business. I don't want to lead a company. I just wanted to be founder in my Instagram bio.
Wow.
Right. And so I'm like, you could have put that 100,000 into so many more things that would fill your cup authentically, a keyword authentically. Right. And another thing I would also suggest is speak to someone, you know, I know
multiple people,
multiple people. Yeah. Speak to, yeah, multiple people. But the only thing I'll say is that, you know, I get a lot of DMs of like people DMing me like, Hyla, can I, you know, they'll ask me like a one sentence question, like, do you think I should start this company? They'll just give me like a two sentence word about it. You know, we have to be honest here. I get these DMs often and I'm in the back of an Uber and I have to respond. And if, let's say they hear the advice of talk to three people and they think of it, because some people might think of it as, let me DM three people, get three sentences from these people.
No.
And base my life, a major decision of this chapter of my life off of that. Or they'll go talk to their friend or their dad's best buddy who's 60 years old and is saying, start a business. It's the best thing ever. It's like, speak to someone who would be in your exact shoes 4 years from now, maybe the same sort of no investor or investor route.
Yeah.
Maybe she's a woman of color. Maybe she's not a woman of color. Like, try to kind of understand like, hey, there might be in similar places as me. Maybe she has connections. Maybe she's an influencer. Some people will reach out to an influencer with a million followers being like, give me some advice on launching a business. I'm like, honey, if completely different when you're, and I'm not saying it's easy to launch a brand as a influencer or a celebrity, there's still so many challenges, but it's a completely different game for someone in that position than someone with 500 or 1,000 followers.
So the takeaway here would be to really outreach and like strategically to someone that's very similar to you is what you're saying. Maybe like whether that be anywhere, like it doesn't have to be geographically, but like maybe, you know, you feel like that you got an inkling of like maybe their financial journey, which is all public, by the way. If someone has raised money nine times out of 10, you're able to see that. There's so many different resources out there. Or, you know, there's so many podcasts now where like if you're interested in someone or a brand, pop the founder in where you listen to podcasts, hear their story a couple times, really understand that and it. Do your own research, reach out to them, letting them know, sharing, you know, why you're reaching out to them, how you know their story, you know, and more so like add as much value as possible.
And can you get them in an environment that's best suited for them, right?
For sure.
Like, do you know what workout studio they work at? Or maybe you can DM them, say, I'd love to take care of a workout class. Let's go together. And maybe I can pick your brain over 5 minutes. Give it 5 minutes. You have to be honest with yourself. They'll say yes to the 5 minutes. But if you go in saying we could chat for an hour, I would feel overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't have an hour.
100%. I would say my outreach tips to anybody, whether that's somebody looking to outreach to someone in C-suite because they're in corporate, or someone that's looking to start and fund their own business, vice versa, or an investor. It's really keep it brief. Again, do your diligence, on the person, really have that storytelling come through of like the why you're reaching out to them specifically. And yeah, add value, whether that's, you know, sending them a Starbucks gift card, thank you so much for talking to me, or sending it through right before, like, can't wait to grab a coffee.
Yeah.
Keep it brief in the sense that, 15 minutes of your time. Would love 15 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
To, you know, and also offer, sometimes I'll be honest, I've been on the both aspects again, like I've been reached out to, and the success that I had reaching out to, building like advisories from C-suite at the time. Again, I was building a beauty brand. I had C-suites of brands in Sephora.
Yeah.
And again, going back to that value add, like really just being clear with why you want to speak to them. I feel like sometimes, again, people are just people. They're like, what are they going to want? You know, what is their MO?
Totally.
Being transparent, being like, I would love to send you the questions that I would like love to chat about pre, so just so someone can gather their thoughts, see what's coming.
Totally.
And be like, am I the best person to answer these questions for
totally.
Them? You know,
I know someone that reached out to someone very famous, like someone we all know, and was like, I'm willing to like work with you for a year for free. And he knew his long-term strategy.
Wow.
Oh, he ended up building a company with this billionaire. Like, yeah, I can't even describe how that investment and him being like, I will work with you for a year and show you that I am the best business partner you can have. And he reached out to this billionaire.
Wow.
About this. Somehow got through, worked with him for a few years, built huge companies with him. Now doing his own huge company that is like, he's raising about $50 million right now for his next company. And guess who's an investor of it?
Of course. Like
this main guy. And so, you know, you have to also realize that everyone is getting DM'd the same thing. Everyone's getting DM'd like, can I pick your brain? Can we do a coffee chat? Whatever. What can you do, offer, suggest that might stand out from the crowd? That's all. Again, you don't have to bribe people. It doesn't always have to be monetary or the thing. But if someone was like, you know, let's say they did social media editing on the side, let's say, and they want to pick my brain about, because they wanted to launch a brand, let's say, and they said, Hyla, I noticed you have a podcast. It's very clear to me you don't invest a lot in the social media of it because your podcast Instagram page, there's like a post every week. I'll put a couple posts up for you every once in a while. I'd love if I can pick your brain once a week, if that's okay. Okay, like there's an exchange here. And I'm not saying that that's the only way I would talk to someone, but it's if five people a week are asking to pick my brain, I'm like, ooh,
you know what?
This is like the stars aligning. This makes so much sense.
How can I add value to this person?
Yes.
Is the question that you need to ask yourself.
Or else it's going to sound very one-sided. And it's like, and I don't know. I always like to tell my clients this. It's like, before you do anything very expensive with your business, come talk to me, for my clients specifically, right? Because so often I meet with these women that they've already, like I said, invested $100,000 into this whole branding thing. And I know I spoke to you, but I'm like, you guys need to consult with Kirsten and Ray Creative before you go and choose this logo and plaster it on everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so fixated with their own attachment, their own mind and ego around, this is amazing. I love this. You know, they're not to discredit that. I'm sure that's great, but I've just seen people spend $70,000, $100,000 into a whole production run, into a whole business, everything, then to hire me. And I'm like, this business name is not working.
Mm.
This logo is not working. I wouldn't have produced that. And I'm not saying that they couldn't be successful without my advice. It's just that they came to that realization. They're like, holy shit, I wish we paid the $300 for the hour, Hyla, so that we could have heard that this business name doesn't work with this demographic. Or that, you know, I had a client once that was launching a business that she was inspired by, and her purpose was she wanted to bring financial literacy to the Hispanic community.
Mm,
Guess what she hired me for? She hired me because she started a sustainable activewear brand that proceeds from every purchase went into the environment. Like, that's beautiful. They're both beautiful, but where is the connection here? And she already spent thousands of dollars into production, logos about the sustainable brand. And it was very clear that she was not passionate about it. She was on trade fairs on the weekends selling her garments for like $10 just to get rid of the thousands of units in inventory that she purchased. And I'm like, here's the thing. If you're inspired by financial literacy for the Hispanic community, and like, these are the sweetest clients in the world with amazing intentions. Similar mistakes we made at 437 at the beginning, you know? It's just that if that was your MO, like that's the thing that you love, maybe you could have started an institute of, you know, centers or an online course or a product like a financial budgeting planner, and the proceeds of that go towards free classes for the Hispanic community that can't afford to take financial classes. Like, there could have been a storytelling moment here that all connected it, but there's two like disjointed ideas that are not connecting together. And so I'm always like, whether you're hiring a consultant to pick their brains, whether you're meeting with a friend of a friend, and you know, or you're reaching out to someone with value, it's like, sometimes get out of your own head sometimes just to hear other perspectives.
Totally.
Because your best friend is not going to tell you the honest truth. Why? Because she already knows you spent a year on this, that you already spent your money on this. She's not going to be the one to break it to you. And also, your best friend probably likes it because she's under the impression that you're going to give it to her for free. Or,
of course,
you know, it's just like, you know, will your friend buy that if that was in Sephora competing against Charlotte Tilbury and Kosas and whatever? Will she buy that lip liner over all these other ones if they were the exact same price, for example? You know, and so,
but again, to what we were chatting about even earlier, Does your best friend, and this goes back to the point of like really getting very critical about who you take advice from.
Does she get it?
Does she know what she doesn't know?
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, has she founded a business before? Mm-hmm. Has she spoken to manufacturers and production run? Does she know production runs and maybe like cash flow of businesses? You have to give her a break.
Yes.
On the more graceful side of that, you know? So I totally, totally understand what you mean there.
Yeah. So much to digest here, Kirsten, but I loved this conversation. We were talking about this earlier, but you and I can have a mm-hmm. million different episodes together because our normal conversations go from like relationships to wellness to Dr. Joe Dispenza mm-hmm. to what we're eating and our workouts and meditation, manifestation, work, career, branding.
The modern girl.
What's going on? You and I can sit here and talk about like what's going on in the consumer market, what we're liking. Imagine how fun it'd be if we pulled up a bunch of packaging and we started saying what we liked and didn't like about it. Oh, you and I could have so much to talk about, but I feel like this conversation was amazing about just A, like, are we feeling super attached to an idea of something? Why are we attached to it? What's the underlining why? And then the beautiful part about doing things, whether you like them or you don't like them, as a learning.
Totally.
To then eventually go on to your life's purpose. And
absolutely.
And even now with 437 transitioning to where it is now, even to my podcast to where it is now, to where Ray Creative is now, that's also leading us to the path of what the next 5, 10, 30 years is from now. We're going to look back and say, this was also part of it. So
100%.
I love that. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thanks for having me.
Kirsten, if someone's interested in Ray Creative, wants to work with you, wants to even just follow you or get to know you a bit more, where can they find you?
Yeah, first and foremost, just my first name and my last name, which I'm sure you'll drop in the show notes.
Yeah.
For my personal, and raycreative.co for all things Ray, and that's R-H-E-A Creative.
And I will link all of that in the show notes. Yay. And follow Kirsten, guys. I love your content. So aesthetic, aspirational. And I'm so excited to start seeing more of like the brand side, Ray Creative
side.
We're
so excited.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We're in LA now. So what are we going to do? Wait, can we share about what happened this morning first?
Oh my gosh. The raw and the real, right?
Oh my gosh.
The Instagram versus reality. Okay. I'll go with the pre with really, really quickly. And then you can come in with the star of the show.
Okay.
So we're recording this podcast. We step out to Air One super, super quickly to grab smoothie and matcha, you know, the things. And we sit down. It's beautiful outside right now. Super sunny. Just to go over kind of like how the narrative of like how we wanted the podcast to flow, what we really wanted to talk about. And I'm with a content queen that always sets things up. So like aesthetic, so not Hilo going out and setting up the podcast, or pardon me, the camera to shoot kind of just like our day in a life, like small kind of chit chat that we are having, and take it away.
Okay. So the phone is propped up right in front of where Kirsten and I are sitting and having our smoothies on the patio of Air One. All of a sudden, I look in the corner of my eye and, you know, there's this, you can tell, gentle-hearted homeless man that approaches my phone and just takes it while it's recording. And he starts walking away. And I don't know what reaction my body had. I don't know where I got this confidence from. I just jump up and I snatch him from his hand. But his reaction was the funniest thing. He's like, "Whoa, bro," like as if I inconvenienced him that I took my phone back as he was trying
proceeded to steal your it. Cellular device.
But the funniest part about all of it, because we have it on video, we have this recording of him taking the
phone.
Well,
you know what you have to do is post a carousel in the last one that you're about to post.
Yeah.
You got to swipe the very last
one. I have to keep this in our carousel for this post. But if you listen to the audio, I apologize to him. I apologize to him twice. Like as I'm about to snatch the phone, I'm like, "Oh, sorry." And then he's like, "Whoa, bro." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry, that's my phone." Like, why am I apologizing? You're about to steal.
She's so in her feminine.
Oh, no. I'm just like, there is just too much content on that phone. All of yesterday, Adrian and I were getting new content for the 4-3.
You were like,
drop.
You are not, you can mess with me, not my content.
You can't mess with the upcoming stories that we have planned for 4-3-7 with this collection launching next week. So I was like, that was the funniest.
A woman's intuition is, or not even intuition, like reaction sometimes is just like, you can get,
like it's,
all of us.
I don't have a child yet. But I
don't
guess
mess.
Like my work is close to it and my work is on my phone. So someone touches my baby, I'm going to snatch it right out. So that was hilarious. And he was just like, whoa, bro, like, I'm sorry to take my phone back from you. It was almost as if he thought that it wasn't my phone. And then I'm just taking it back from him for him taking somebody else's phone that he just found. Doesn't matter whose phone it is, my love. Like, this is not your phone. But that's also our problem. Like, why did I, not our problem, but
I think
problem,
we have too much faith. We're just like,
like, I'm just so used to Toronto or Europe where like nothing is, that's not going to be a problem. But I propped up the phone there to record for like 2 minutes, a little conversation to use as like
a snip.
Yeah. A snippet. The conversation was so good. It just kept going for 5-6 minutes. So yeah, that's fair that he was probably eyeing it for a while and then planned the attack. That's on me. That's totally on me. But
and on that note, folks,
protect your babies, whatever your baby is, protect it. But thank you again so much, Kirsten. This was an amazing conversation. I'm so excited already to have you back. And I'm so proud of you for Ray Creative. Aww. Like, I have seen your career and yourself, because you are not your career, blossom over the last, I guess, 7 years since we've become friends, and seeing you go from, you know, doing a side hustle, spray tanning in your apartment to having Glow Organic and having this amazing, strong branding, bronzing drops, and then pivoting that into manifesting an opportunity in New York for yourself to, and then have your own clients and consulting, and then just really establishing that as we're doing Ray Creative with Quinn. Like,
thank
so
you
proud
so
of you, my
much.
Love.
Oh,
so
that
proud
made me
of
so
you.
Happy. Well, we'll have to come on to a part two, because I feel like
that
whole manifestation was a whole other side of my journey. So
I'm so excited. Well, we're going to go check out, there's a Cult Gaia sample sale right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go wait in line and try to find some dresses.
Hi, it's me again for our post-interview, not analysis, but you know how after like sports games, there's that like post game, I don't even know what they call it. Clearly, I don't really watch sports like that, but what do they call it? Like post game where they like interview and they talk about the game. That's what our heart to heart version is right now, where I would love to talk to you guys about how listening to that episode now, what resonated the most with me and like what I was like, whoa, like that's good for me to listen to. Because we recorded this a couple weeks ago. Sometimes I like just batch a few episodes in a week and they come out over time. And so 3 weeks later now, I listened to this episode yesterday for the first time since we recorded it. And I was like, whoa, because I always forget what we talk about. And it's like a surprise to me. For me, the biggest thing, and my episode titles always come after we record. So only yesterday when I was listening to it, I was like, oh my God, I'm really understanding what like one of the biggest takeaways was for me. And what I got from this episode was like the why. Like, why do you want to do something? You know, so many times people are starting businesses or trying to grow businesses or like any decision, buy the house, get into this relationship, change something about themselves. And I think the biggest thing to think about is that why. And that doesn't mean that we can't try a bunch of things to kind of figure it out, right? I think that's the whole point of like Kirsten's journey, was that she may not have ended up where she is today if she didn't take all of those internships that she ultimately didn't resonate with, or didn't consider raising money to grow a beauty brand, or didn't have a, you know, a side hustle spray tanning company and then grow that. Like, it's like you have to kind of try a bunch of things to figure out your why. But I will say, like, sometimes, like, again, I always like to bring it back to like what I hear from when I'm grabbing coffee with people or client sessions and things like that, is sometimes we don't think about that bigger why, and we just want to do something because it's going to look a certain way, or certain people are going to look at you like you think that you're going to earn more respect by doing that, or you're going to feel validated, you're going to feel worthy enough. And I like to bring this back to where I've been with 437, I don't want to get too much into it right now because I think it should be a full episode on its own. But lately, you know, Adrian and I have been really thinking about like what our why is at 437. And I think for so many years, our goal was just like, let's grow this thing. Let's grow this thing. Like we were like, it's ultra masculine in my opinion, which it's okay because to some companies, because there's like a goal in mind and you have to like be that way. When Adrian and I started 437, our why was we obviously wanted to bring really flattering swimwear to the market. Like that was like our why. But you know, you can have multiple whys because we could have brought really flattering swimwear and not have started a company. We could have maybe went and worked at a swimwear company or whatever, but we had a few different whys. And I think we wanted to be able to have a career that gave us flexibility and gave us freedom. You know, if let's say we were to go back in time right now and Adrian and I didn't think of swimwear, didn't find this like hole in the market where we couldn't find flattering swimwear. And let's say we were just like, you know what, we want to have freedom and travel and be able to work from wherever. If that was our why, we actually may not have needed to start a company. There could have been, or we could have started a different type of company. It didn't have to be a actual brand with product that needed inventory and shipping and fulfilling and a team in Toronto. And like when you have your why, I think an exercise I always love doing with my clients is what's your why and list a bunch of different ways that you can achieve that why. Why? why do that? The why doing that, it helps you like be a devil's advocate to that one thing that you believe you have to do to achieve that why. It challenges that. And it allows you to see that like, maybe I don't feel so strongly about this path being my path. Or it actually makes you realize like, wow, like even though I'm able to challenge it with all these different things, like it's so clear to me that doing X, Y, Z, like that's the thing that like I know is ingrained in me to do and makes most sense with my why. So I always just like, that's what I really took from this episode. And I'm bringing it back to kind of like where I'm at 437 with Adrian is that I felt like we lost in my mind some of those whys as we were growing the company. It just became about like results, growth, performance, which was inherently, it's quite masculine. You know, community, for example, has always been at the forefront of our brand, like community, like the love for the customer, our community, like just wanting to bring them something special. And I'm sure if you guys like you follow me, you see how excited I am about like new collections, new product. And we just get so excited about bringing like freshness and exciting new designs. And we're so passionate about the design process because, you know, there's a lot of like brands out there in activewear, for example, but something we love about our team and what we do is that we have one of the most talented designers with over 20 years of experience on our team. And the little attention to detail on how something fits and how the design detail is, and that it's like, it's not white, it's cream, you know, like our contrast, for example, it's not white, it's cream. Like those details to us, like that excites me. Like, so I guess what I'm trying to say is like that part, those parts of the business has never escaped us and has always been like something we love. But we started like growing so quickly in terms of like growing our team quickly and wanting to be all about results. And Adrian and I realized it's like, we want to live a bit of a softer life. Like we want to slow down a little bit, but all the decisions we were making at 437 were like going against that. And we took a step back. We're like, why would we put ourselves in a situation where we're not building out a company that's the most fulfilling to us? Like, is that not why we have, like when we're building companies, like it should be with the vision of like how you want to have a company. And I want to create a company where Adrian and I love, and it's perfect for our lifestyles, but also like our team is extremely happy and what's important to them, like that's something we'll always work towards, you know? And it's just like, what's our why, you know? And again, I'm going to go into this in so much more depth in another episode and like bring clear examples, but I just kind of wanted to allude to the fact that, you know, you can always revisit your why and start changing your path in your life ever so slightly or in large ways to kind of get to your why, because we're always constantly changing. We're always in different chapters of our lives. And in this chapter, I want to be more present with what I'm doing in my relationships with my friends. I want to choose quality over quantity. I want to slow down. I want to have more like memorable life experiences. I want to spend time with my family. I want to take care of myself. I don't want to have this crazy sudden switch when one day I get pregnant and I'm like, I go from crazy overworked burnout mode to like, oh, now I don't want to bring that energy to my child. So all of a sudden I like switch hats like within months. It's like, no, I want to have this beautiful progression and start slowing down now so that like I'm in the best space to be the type of mother that I want to be one day. So anyways, I hope all of this makes you think about like your why. Like it doesn't have to be about business. It could be about anything. And I hope you liked this episode with Kirsten. Like I loved the conversation and, you know, she's so inspiring to me and she's the best. And honestly, guys, like if you guys are looking, if you have a company or a business and you're looking for branding work, totally highly recommend. Obviously, she's my friend, but I wouldn't just say that. I've worked with her. We've put $437 into working with Kirsten and it's been incredible. So if you'd like an intro, feel free to shoot me a message and I'll intro you guys over email if you'd like. But yeah, Kirsten, if you're listening to this, thank you so much for coming on. And for all of you guys who are listening to this podcast, to this episode, to anything that heart-to-heart related, thank you guys so much for being on this heartfelt journey with me. And this next few days are just quick summary because I'll talk about my week coming up. Right now it's Friday morning. Tomorrow I'm having my first heart-to-heart get together at my house, which is very intimate and I'm a bit nervous, but I was like, why wouldn't I have people over at my house? Like I'm Persian. I love giving tea to people and serving tea and like having people over. And I'm just like really excited for that. And we're going to have like this beautiful breathwork session with Zoe from episode 3. And we're also going to have like a heart-to-heart conversation and talk about some of these topics and just like free flow it out. A bit nervous to have 20 people in my living room. I've only had maximum 4 people in here before, so I'm a bit nervous, but I'm really excited. And so let's say you're listening to this and you're not based in Toronto and you want me to have these sort of events like online virtually, if you're interested in that, please let me know and I can see if I can do something like that at some point. And if you want to connect with me further, you want to connect with me on social media, if you're interested in what it's like to be one of my clients for business advising or my heart-to-heart sessions, all of that is in the show notes, and everything to do with Kirsten and her social links and all of that is in the show notes as well. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I'm excited for the next one. Talk to you later. Bye.